Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. Quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Julie Dolan, PackDatT24, and Earl Alizern. Appreciate you guys signing up. If you have not yet checked out the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships, do so right now. A ton of amazing stuff coming up with the NFL draft. Of course, we're going to have rookie mini camps, OTAs. There's going to be a ton to go over. You're going to want those weekly members only Q&As. So check those out over on the YouTube channel, Pack-A-Day Podcast, of course, on YouTube. If not, just subscribe, like, comment, do all those great things that you guys are so great at doing every single day. And trust me, it does not go unnoticed. A couple other quick shout outs really quick. I want to do a huge thank you and just reminder. First of all, the thank you to both Cheesehead TV and Packer Report, who allow me to host the Pack-A-Day Podcast in various formats on both of their websites every single day. Hopefully you are making a habit out of going to Cheesehead TV and PackerReport.com every single day to get so many great Packers articles and content and podcasts and everything else. Right now, Cheesehead TV has two great articles on two draft prospects at linebacker that you're going to want to check out. One on Edrian Cooper, one on Junior Colson, two linebackers that could be easily in play for Green Bay. So check those out again over on CheeseheadTV.com and PackerReport.com. Dyer Carragher went beast mode. He went all in, did an unbelievable job reviewing the tape of Jeff Hafley's defense, as well as what Xavier McKinney did in New York, and basically how this beautiful marriage of Hafley's defense and McKinney's safety play is going to be able to blend together to create this beautiful football, I don't know what you want to call it, but just this amazing combination in Green Bay. And he did such a phenomenal job of breaking that down. So check that out over on Packer Report. But again, they do such a great job of supporting Pack-A-Day. Make sure you're going to CheeseheadTV.com and PackerReport.com every single day for a ton of amazing Packers content. We're going to jump right into our main topic today, though. And that main topic today is going to be trades. Brian Gutekunst, on a couple different occasions this offseason, has mentioned utilizing his draft capital to trade, but not in the normal sense, not to trade up in the draft or trade down in the draft, but to trade specifically for veteran players. This was not just some slip, like he's mentioned it on two different occasions this offseason, that he could use this draft capital to trade for veteran players. Well, we've seen a lot of the key veterans already go off the board, including some of the franchise guys. L'Jarius Sneed just goes to the Titans. We've seen a lot of quarterback movement, but just in general, a lot of those moves and trades for a lot of the big players have sort of already been made. But I don't think that takes Goot out of the running for potentially adding players before the draft, during the draft, or even after the draft. So today I'm going to highlight 10 players that I think, or player slash situations that could be in play where Green Bay could take a look at maybe trading for a player that is already established and on a roster and not just some rookie or not just some draft pick swap. So we will start today by going over everyone's favorite topic, the wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Brandon Ayuk, and T. Higgins. And guess what? None of them make any damn sense. And you know me better than this. So if you clicked on the YouTube link today looking for why Green Bay should trade for Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, or Brandon Ayuk, you know better. First of all, I did a whole episode on T. Higgins already and why it makes no sense for Green Bay to make that trade. You can go back and watch that episode if you want the full breakdown as of why. And number two, if you're thinking Brandon Ayuk or Devontae Adams, you can go back and listen to the T. Higgins episode and just instead of T. Higgins, insert Devontae Adams or Brandon Ayuk's name instead of T. Higgins. The long and short of it is Green Bay is the envy of the league right now at the wide receiver position in the fact that they have five really good prospects slash already talented wide receivers who are young, talented, already developed, already playmakers, and growing in the right direction, making almost no money. They will make combined under $10 million this year. You have young, high-end players, like high-end developmental players who have already made an impact, have already made the splash, have already showed what they're capable of, have already showed that they're capable of carrying a wide receiver core that are only going to get better, and you have them for completely on the cheap, under $10 million combined this season, and all of them under control for at least two more seasons. That is a cheat code. Like I said, it is the envy of the league. Every NFL team would love to have a wide receiver core like Green Bay that is talented and capable of being really freaking good while making no money. That is the dream. And like I said, it is a superpower. It is a cheat code. Why would you ever want to ruin that? Yes, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Davante Adams, all really good players. But guess what? Green Bay is going to need the draft capital that they would take to trade for those players to go fill other positions. And they will need the salary that it takes to go get those players to go fill out the, you know, the roster at other positions. It really already did so by going out and getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. You know, those deals probably aren't possible if you go out and trade for a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk or a Davante Adams. So get those names out of your mind. It does not make sense. It's not going to happen. Green Bay will not be trading for any of those three players, nor should they. They have a perfect situation. Don't ruin it. And by the way, the Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reeds and Christian Watts, they're only going to get better. Let them progress. Don't put a veteran wide receiver in their way that's going to take their snaps and their development. They're in a great, great spot. So we will not be discussing any wide receivers, and those three are not on my list of 10 players that we will be discussing today. We are going to go over realistic candidates, which you, if you have followed me in any time before, you know I'm going to err on the side of realistic. However, it's not always the most fun if we just stick to the most realistic. So my first two trade candidates are going to err a little bit on the maybe semi-unrealistic side. The first one, I actually think you can talk yourself into making a strong argument for. The second one is harder, but I'll explain that one as well. And the second one we at least know is available, but it just might not be the right fit. And that line you have to walk is going to be a little bit tougher. But let's go through the first one. And that is a Denver Broncos trade for Patrick Surtain Jr. Now, let's just hit the elephant in the room first. Why, oh why, would the Denver Broncos want to trade one of the best young up-and-coming corners in Patrick Surtain Jr. to the Green Bay Packers and just move on from him when he is still super young? He is 24 years old. He is under team control, under a team-friendly contract. Denver doesn't have much going for them. One thing they do have going for them is Patrick Surtain Jr. Do you really want to ruin that too? Here's the thing. Denver is desperate. They are desperate for a quarterback, and they are in no position right now to go get a quarterback. The reason being is they are behind the top three teams that are likely going to take quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3. They are behind the New York Giants at number 6. Minnesota at number 11, who is likely moving up. They don't have a great avenue to move up, and they are paying a ton of money to Russell Wilson to not be on the team. They don't have a great avenue to go get a quarterback. You know what avenue would give them, or you know what options would give them an avenue to maybe go get one? More first round draft capital. And if they could potentially move Patrick Surtain to Green Bay, maybe picking up a first round pick in the process, which could potentially allow them to move up and maybe go get one of those young quarterbacks, it has to be something that Denver at least considers. But we have to look at it from both sides. Let's look at it from Green Bay's side next. First of all, he has a $3.5 million salary this year. So he is a bargain basement deal for a player of his caliber. 1 year, $3.5 million remaining. Plus, Green Bay would still have the fifth year option and the fifth year of control by trading for Surtain. So that is another key aspect there where they would get that fifth year option to keep him on a pretty team friendly deal for another season. As I mentioned, he's only 24 years old. He completely fits the timeline of where this Packers team is at right now. Imagine Patrick Surtain and Jaire Alexander on opposing sides as outside corners in Jeff Hafley's press man aggressive defense. That is a match made in heaven. That is some Al Harris, Charles Woodson type stuff on the outside. a beautiful combination and something that would give Jeff Hafley some real superpowers on the outside with Xavier McKinney on the back end. That is a ton of fun to think about. He is a perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. He had a 9.96 relative athletic score coming out of college. So, you know, that's something that Goody, his overall athleticism would be something that Goody would be very much a fan of. He had PFF grades of 66.1, 86.8, and then last year came down a little bit to a 69.0 grade. But overall, he is massively talented, a great fit, and you have to think that Surtain would love to play for a team like Green Bay rather than Denver, who is stuck completely in no man's land, whereas Green Bay should be competing at a high level for the foreseeable future. And from a cornerback standpoint, remember that L'Jarius Sneed just went for a third round pick. Now, you don't have to pay Surtain right away like you have to pay L'Jarius Sneed right away. So Surtain is going to be more valuable than that. Also, Surtain is younger. But what about Eric Stokes and a first round pick for Patrick Surtain? That seems about right. Green Bay picks 25th. That's still a pretty premium selection overall and a really good draft. You get a lottery ticket, let's just say, in Eric Stokes. You get a first round corner that could maybe go and play significant snaps for Denver. And maybe he could be an answer there. Maybe he gets his career back on track. And with Surtain in Green Bay, you don't have a real need for Eric Stokes. You already have Jair and Surtain on the outside with Valentine backing up on the outside. You don't need a number four guy all that much. I don't know how much value Stokes would have in that situation, but Stokes in a first for Surtain feels about right. And here's the other thing for Green Bay. If that were a deal that Denver would at least consider, you get Patrick Surtain using your first round pick with two pretty cheap deals still or years still left on his contract, and you still have four top 100 picks in this draft. You could probably go use those two second round picks to get up and get another first if you really wanted to. And you also have 10 overall picks still left. And you have a core roster that's now built and a big time player added to your defense. Sometimes you have to realize, hey, you just hit a home run in the draft in 2023. Are you going to be able to do it again in 2024? Maybe this gives you something where, hey, even if we still have 10 lottery tickets with 10 draft picks left, in 2024, you still get a guaranteed situation with Patrick Surtain knowing what you're going to get by utilizing that first round pick. And usually when you're doing something like that, you have to give that immediate huge contract. With Surtain, you don't. You have 2 years of team control on pretty team-friendly deals. So I kind of actually think that this is one, well, probably on the unrealistic side. I wouldn't go buy a Patrick Surtain Green Bay Packer jersey anytime soon, but I could easily talk myself into this actually somewhat being realistic. And the reasons are everything that we just stated. Green Bay gets a perfect fit in their defense. Young fits the timeline. Super athletic, perfect fit with Jair Alexander, and somebody that is going to help them compete right now. Denver's not in that position, and now they have two first-round picks that they could potentially go and trade up, or at least gives them probably the assurance that they're going to at least get a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix in round one if they really need to. I just think that it actually does make some sense. And corners are, on the trade market, getting a little bit devalued. So even though he's a really good player for Denver, again, they're in no situation right now with Surtain to even compete. So get the young, you know, get the draft pick, help yourself get a quarterback, get yourself back on a timeline. You'll be able to find a corner later. You need to go get cap friendly as well. Maybe giving him that huge contract in a couple of years doesn't make sense for Denver anyway. Like I said, I actually can talk myself into this one and actually really, really like it for Green Bay. So first round pick in Eric Stokes for Patrick Surtain. Goody, get the job done. I am all in on that deal. And like I said, still four top 100 picks still remaining to go fill out the remainder of your roster where you need it. I guess I'm in on that one. Number two is tougher to thread the needle as to exactly how this one would work. And that's Hassan Reddick, the edge rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles. The really hard part here, the easy part is that we know he's available, right? Philly is trying to get off of his deal. They want to trade him. He will likely be on another team this year. The hard part is that he's on a one-year, $16 million deal. Now, if you're Green Bay and you're going to do this trade, the first thing that you probably look at is, hey, Philly, we're going to need you to pick up more of that tab, which is hard for Philly because they're already going to have a pretty exorbitant tab from all the void years that they already built into his contract. But if I'm Green Bay, I probably want that closer to 8 to 10 million on a 1-year deal rather than 16. The other hard part of threading this needle is the reason Reddick and Philly are probably in this situation is because Reddick probably wants some longer term deal and a longer term guarantee. And that makes this deal hard because Green Bay already has that deal for Rashawn Gary in place. They've got a first round pick in LVN. You know, Preston Smith's going to be around this year. So adding another big time edge rusher contract makes it difficult to do for a variety of different reasons. That said, he would be a perfect pass rusher in Jeff Hafley's defense. He adds a key ingredient as a speed rusher that Green Bay does not have. He has 34 sacks per PFF over the last two seasons and 155 pressures over that time. An 84.6 and a 73.0 grade over the past two seasons. And how I would look at this is that in 2024, you kind of put Enagbare out of the equation. You would kind of, I would probably, you know, look at bringing him in and then signing him to like a 2-year deal, one where his contract is cheaper this year, and then you give him another year next year, and then probably add like a void year after that to make it work for Green Bay. But how that works is in 2024, you've got Preston, Rashawn Gary, Hassan Reddick, and LVN as your group up front, which is really, really fun. And then next year, you probably have to move on from Preston Smith at that time, but then you have Rashawn Gary, Hassan Reddick, LVN, and Kingsley Enagbare back. So you kind of got that four-headed edge rush in 2024 and in 2025. You'd have to work out that 2-year deal with Reddick. Again, it's probably tough with the contract that he's on, but I think you probably get him for a day three pick. And adding a player who has 155 total pressures in the last two seasons for a day three pick, that's a perfect fit for the defense, that adds something that they don't have right now, that doesn't come along every day. So from a contract standpoint, I think he's almost 30 years old or is about to be 30 years old. It doesn't perfectly fit and align with where Green Bay's at right now. But also you have to look at like day three selection. You could probably get his contract a little bit cheaper. I don't hate it. Hard to walk the line, hard to figure out the avenue to make it work. But I think it's at least worth a conversation and a phone call, if nothing else. Would Philly really be super interested in trading him to Green Bay? That could be another conversation here. For a variety of reasons, this is another one I would not go get your Hassan Reddick Green Bay Packers jersey, but it's at least an interesting one to think about. And like I said, if you're Green Bay, you probably at least have to have the conversation, even if once it gets to Russ Ball, he's just like, I don't think that one's going to work too hot. But I like at least the theory behind it in some way, shape, or form. What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets. And save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, the rest of these are going to be much, much more on the realistic but less sexy side of things. And let's start off in Jacksonville. And actually, these next four players slash situations are all going to be for an off-ball linebacker. Green Bay needs another off-ball linebacker, whether it's via the draft or via a trade. There's nothing really left in free agency, but they could use some help there. So let's see how we could get Green Bay some help specifically through a trade. And let's start in Jacksonville. Jacksonville right now has four off-ball linebackers that they have some pretty significant resources in. Devin Lloyd, their former first-round pick, Foyese Olukan, who they gave a very big contract to, Chad Muma, who was a third-round pick a couple seasons ago, and Ventrell Miller, who was a fourth-round pick just last year. That's a lot of capital to put and resources to put in one off-ball linebacker position. Now, Devin Lloyd would be the dream situation here, but he's 25 years old, had a 78.1 PFF grade a season ago, a 90.3 run defense grade, and Jacksonville probably isn't super excited to trade him. So he's probably the one that's staying. Olukan is a really interesting one. He had a 75.2 grade last year. He's 29 years old, had a 70.2 run defense grade, a 73.4 tackling grade. But the issue here is he would have 1 year, $15 million left on his contract. Green Bay's not interested in that. They wouldn't be interested in that for Hassan Reddick, we just talked about. That's a tough line for them to take on Reddick. They're certainly not doing it for Foyese Olukan. No offense to Foyese Olukan. He's a good player. He really, really is. But Jacksonville would have to eat a ton of that contract, and that probably makes that really, really difficult. I don't think Ventrell Miller's probably in the conversation. Fourth-round pick last year. A decent resource for Jacksonville that they put in, but Green Bay's probably not interested. But Chad Muma is a little bit more of an interesting conversation. Now, he's only had 465 career snaps, and his PFF grades 54.9 and 38.1 last year, where he struggled with everything. Run defense, tackling, pass defense. It was not pretty in just under 200 snaps. But he's 25 years old in August. He's only got 2 years, $2.6 million left on his deal. Was a 9.78 relative athletic score guy, and was somebody that coming out of college, a lot of people, myself included, thought very highly of coming out of that class and thought he was going to be someone that was going to come in and provide immediate, just like an immediate impact from the linebacker position. And I would argue that overall, he's a pretty untested player at the NFL level, in large part because Devin Lloyd and Foyese Olukan have gotten all those snaps in Jacksonville. This is a pretty low risk, probably fifth, sixth round, or maybe like a pick swap in 2024 to go get someone like Chad Muma. And he would come in and, as of right now, immediately be Green Bay's number three linebacker, at least with a much higher upside than Isaiah McDuffie, and somebody that could come in and compete for playing time. And if not, he also has some special teams ability. So this is somebody that you have an untested, low risk, high reward, and Jacksonville doesn't really have an avenue for him on their roster anyway. And if they trade him away, they still have Lloyd, Olukan, and Ventrell Miller at their disposal, and they probably don't lose much sleep over it. So Green Bay just needs to fill out that roster. Chad Muma could be one from Jacksonville that could make some sense and could still does fit within the timeline of what they're looking at. The next one, very similar player, Channing Tindall for the Miami Dolphins. This is a 9.73 relative athletic score off-ball linebacker from Goody's favorite, the University of Georgia. Was Quay Walker's tag team partner along with N'Kobe Dean from a couple years ago. He only has 22 total defensive snaps to his name. They just went out and they got Jordan Brooks. They already have David Long, Duke Riley, and they signed Anthony Walker Jr. He's like number five on their depth chart right now. He had a 78.2 grade in all of his 12 snaps last year, was a third round pick, 102 overall a couple of years ago. Again, same draft as Quay Walker. 6'2", 232, ran a 4.47 40. Was a day three or for a day three selection for Miami. They'd probably consider that type of deal. They don't have an avenue for him to play anyway. And he's played 12 snaps last year and 22 overall defensive snaps. It's not a lot, clearly, obviously. He has 2 years, $2.5 million remaining on his deal. He's 24 years old, and he fits really well with what Green Bay is trying to accomplish. 6'3", 232. He's at least worth a flyer, right? And again, if you're talking like a fifth round pick for this type of player, maybe like a day three pick swap, I'm totally cool with making that type of deal, seeing if you can get him in Green Bay and unlocking, all of that raw talent that he possessed coming out of college. They haven't been able to do it in Miami, but they've had some players that have been sort of in his way. And now he would come to Green Bay with a legitimate chance to compete for a starting job and with pretty low risk attached to it. So very much like Chad Muma, Channing Tindall, to me, makes some sense. The next one, exact same situation. Drew Sanders, linebacker from the Denver Broncos. They already have Alex Singleton and they just signed Cody Barton. Right now, Drew Sanders is not expected to be a starting linebacker for Denver. Had an 8.96 relative athletic score, has 3 years, $3.7 million remaining on his deal, so he's super cheap. He's only 23 years old. He only has 260 snaps to his name, but those 260 snaps come with a 38.3 PFF grade. They have been brutal. But he's 6'4", 233, third round pick, 68th overall. For, again, a sixth round pick here, fifth round pick, or some pick swap, again, Denver could use the assets. This is a buy low, has some upside, freak athlete. Put him in there, see what he can do. You don't have many other options. You're probably going to grab a couple guys via the draft anyway, but one of these guys, Drew Sanders, Channing Tindall, Chad Muma, probably are better than what you're going to have as options in the fifth, sixth round in this draft in what's considered a weaker linebacker class. Now, you might need to be aggressive and grab someone in the first, second, or third round at linebacker anyway, but for a late day three pick, getting one of these players who was highly thought of just a couple years ago and bringing them in and seeing if a change of scenery does them a lot of help, I'm totally for that. And I think either, again, Muma, Channing Tindall, or Drew Sanders should be on Green Bay's radar as a day three option if Green Bay maybe falls through and doesn't have the results that they want at the linebacker position as they sort of go through the draft. And one more option here that's better, but is also in a similar situation, is Jamin Davis, the linebacker for the Commanders. Now, he was a former first-round pick. He's still only 25 years old. He hasn't quite lived up to expectations, but he's been a solid starter. Had a 46.8 grade 2 years ago, 62.9 the year before that, and then last year was a 67.6 grade, and he's been better year over year. Now, Washington, however, just went out this offseason and signed Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner. So Jamin Davis, they just gave big contracts to both those guys. Jamin Davis immediately moves to the number three linebacker role in Washington. He would be right next to Quay Walker as though like a tag team duo in Green Bay as a starter. So Green Bay probably has more value on him than Washington does right now after their two free agent signings. 6'4", 234, 9.94 relative athletic score. He was a freak athlete, a 4.48 40-yard dash. He has 1 year, $2.5 million remaining, and a fifth-year option if Green Bay wanted to pick it up. Like I said, would be a day one starter next to Quay Walker. Probably costs, my guess would be it's like similar to the Rasul Douglas trade where you might have to give up that pick that you got for Rasul, that third round pick, but you probably get something like a fifth or sixth round pick in return, probably some sort of pick swap and get Jamin Davis. To me, that's a pretty significant upgrade. And if you could get him for something like that, that's another trade where I'd be very interested in if I were Green Bay. All right, let's move away from off-ball linebacker and let's move to some offensive line depth. Another player that Green Bay could consider, this would be after the draft. This player needs to be traded post June 1st based on his contract, is Joseph Noteboom from the LA Rams. Now, the great thing about Noteboom is that he has starting experience and NFL experience at left tackle, left guard, and right tackle. So he has four position versatility and again has started in the NFL. He would have 1 year, $6.6 million left on his deal. Probably a little bit higher than what you want for a primary depth piece, but he would be the number one guy off your bench and maybe could even push someone like a Sean Ryan or a Rashid Walker for starting time, at least in theory, even if your hope would be that Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker would easily beat him out. If you get through the draft and it doesn't go your way on the offensive line, maybe they get a fifth and a sixth round pick, but they just didn't get the early picks and they don't have the depth. Adding a Joseph Noteboom who could come in and give you starting snaps without having to be super concerned about it would be a pretty big get for Green Bay. And about a one-year $6.6 million deal, while maybe being slightly above a going rate for a top backup, isn't that far off. Now, he's 29 years old. He's 6'5", 322. As I mentioned, he's started all along the offensive line and has played all along the offensive line, has the versatility to play everything but center. I think the price is overall sort of right. And the other thing is you could get him for nothing. There's a decent chance that the Rams actually just release him after June 1st. But rather than, you know, him having to go through the process of, you know, whether do you want to sign him or not and going through the contract, you just give up a, you know, conditional seventh round pick for the rights to him and you get access to that contract. You don't have to fight anyone else for his services. You don't have to go through the contract negotiation. You just get him on your roster. And like I said, I think you get him very, very cheap for like a seventh round, you know, conditional selection. That to me, if you get through the draft and it's June and your offensive line depth is looking not great, and you've got your basically your five starters, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, and a fifth and sixth round pick or something like that, I need something a little bit more than that. Noteboom would give me a little bit more depth and versatility along that line, and you can never have enough players who have started in this league along the offensive line. He's been up and down, a little bit inconsistent. I would say this is sort of similar to a Yash Nyman, probably a little bit better because he gives you guard versatility as well. You're not expecting him to come in and immediately be a starter, but it would give you something from a depth standpoint that Green Bay does not have right now. And then the last three are kind of what I would consider under the take a flyer on them. They didn't work out in their initial situation. They're still super young. Maybe just bringing them to Green Bay unlocks all of their potential. The first is Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher from the New York Giants, second round pick in 2021, 50th overall. He only turns 24 in June, despite already playing 3 years in the NFL. His PFF grades 58.3, 59.6, 51.8. He's played less than 1,500 snaps in three seasons. He's had some injury issues, had an 8.23 relative athletic score, had 10 sacks as a rookie, and has 19 sacks in three seasons. And he'd have 1 year, $1.58 million remaining on his deal. Super cheap. Probably, again, goes for a day three selection. You get a one-year tryout on a player that had some pretty high upside coming out of college. This year, he would be your Kingsley and Igbari replacement while he comes back from the ACL. And you would really feel pretty comfortable, I think, going into the season with Preston, LVN, Rashawn Gary, and Azeez Ojulari being your four primary rushers. He fits perfectly into that number four spot, would be better than almost any other team's number four edge rusher. And again, gives you an upside play for not a lot in return. That's one that I actually kind of like. Richie Grant, the safety for the Falcons. Green Bay still needs depth at safety. They have not addressed it outside of Xavier McKinney. And right now it's Anthony Johnson Jr., Benny Sapp III, Zane Anderson, not a whole heck of a lot else. Richie Grant was the 40th overall pick in 2021. He's been a starter the last 2 years, hasn't totally lived up to expectations. 6 foot 194, would have 1 year, $3.1 million remaining on his deal. Had a 7.94 relative athletic score. Had a 58.6, 64.9, and 51.5 PFF grades over the past three seasons. But they've used him primarily as a free safety. This would give him the ability to play a little bit more in the box, be that tandem safety next to Xavier McKinney. And I think that maybe could do him a little bit better, although he did get the opportunity to play with Jesse Bates last year in Atlanta. So but maybe just again, the change of scenery, going to a different defense, different team could unlock that potential. I know a lot of people really liked him out of Central Florida when he was a rookie. Again, another very low risk potential signing, and 26 years old still. So not in that 23, 24 range, but certainly not overaged by any stretch of the imagination, and has 2 years of starting experience. Another very low risk, potentially high reward play for Green Bay, and he does give you some special teams versatility there as well. And last but not least is Buffalo Bills corner Kyer Elam, the 23rd overall pick in 2022, turns only 23 in May, has 570 snaps in 2022, 210 snaps in 2023, fell out of favor a little bit, also has had some injury issues, had 64.6 and 65.7 relative athletic score, so not bad grades by any means. Was an 8.71 relative athletic score coming out of college, 6'1", 191, fits what Goot likes as an outside corner, 2 years, $4.5 million remaining on his deal, plus a fifth-year option. I think it's at least worth a phone call. Right now, he's going to have to probably compete to start, even though they did lose Tre'Davious White. He's not guaranteed that spot. Of course, they still have Rasul Douglas, and Teron Johnson in the slot. So he's going to have to compete for that one remaining outside corner spot. And if he doesn't earn it, if I'm Goody, I'm definitely calling Buffalo and saying, hey, I would love if you had a situation where Jair was your starting corner on one side, and going into camp, you had Eric Stokes, Carrington Valentine, and Kyer Elam fighting it out for that other corner spot. Like, I'm all in on that. Let them compete. Let the best man win. And if it's Elam, awesome. If it's Stokes, great. If it's Valentine, great. But hopefully one of those guys rises up to the challenge and can really become the legit starter across from Jair Alexander. This, again, would be another potentially low-risk, high-reward play for Green Bay. Don't hate any of those ideas. I think those are the smart moves. You want to buy low more often when you can, when you're on the trade market. I think a lot of these deals would allow you to do so, at least the latter ones. You know, Chad Muma, Channing Tindall, Drew Sanders, maybe Jamin Davis to some extent, Azeez Ojulari, Richie Grant, Kyer Elam. You're probably getting any of those players, Joseph Noteboom, for late day three selections that they could come in and help you right now, many of them with very, very low contract costs going into this year. The pie in the sky, the high end, is your Patrick Surtain. I think your best bet, if you're Green Bay, is probably someone like a Channing Tindall, maybe a Jamin Davis in Washington. And the more I think about it, the more I really do like at least having that conversation with Denver to see if you could make something work for Patrick Surtain. It definitely seems to make sense on paper for both sides. Like I said, I could totally get on board with that type of deal for Green Bay. Want to hear your thoughts. Of those 10 players, which one would you most like to see Goot make a move for? If your answer is T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk or Davante Adams, I don't know what to tell you. You're probably in the wrong podcast. I'm just kidding. Don't go anywhere. But it's not the right move. I promise you, it's not the right move. But which one of those 10 are most likely or would you like to see the most? Or do you have another option? Is there a trade option out there? Man, I went through every like sort of rumor mill and went through every depth chart to see a player. But hey, if you have one, I'd love to hear it. I even thought, by the way, of Zach Wilson for the Jets. I'm not going to get into all of it. Zach Wilson has a huge guarantee. There's like a, $5 or $6 million guaranteed contract if you trade for him. That is not happening for any team. They're going to have to just cut him. There's no way any team is giving up anything to give him a guaranteed $5-6 million deal this year. Just not happening. But I thought it was going to be like no guarantee. And I'm like, if you get him and you get him for a conditional seventh, like, sure, why not? Do it. See if he can make it as a number three quarterback or maybe even compete at number two. And if not, you cut him and you trade nothing in return because he didn't make the roster. But the guarantee completely makes that a moot point. So who would you like to see? If there are any other trades that I did not think of, let me know. And maybe I can cover them on a future episode if they do, in fact, make some sense. So I'd love to hear from you. That is going to do it for me today, though. Thank you so much for being a part of the Pack-A-Day podcast. And thank you so much for joining me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mosa to Minnesota, and PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, and Dan Miller. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.